Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, and Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us now in studio. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, there we go. Good morning.
And you are Paisley.
I am Paisley today, yes. Little blue Paisley thing going on.
All right, so Steve.
Yes, sir.
Any more news on Israel since we talked this morning at our show meeting?
Well, not hard news. Like, we're still waiting for some ground offensive. We haven't seen anything yet as far as troops moving in. They've asked the residents, the civilians in northern part of the
Gaza
of Gaza Strip, to flee south because they're coming, they said. And a lot of them have. Hamas, it was reported over the weekend, was trying to stop some of them from leaving. They're losing their human shields, apparently. Momentarily, I don't know if this is something they'd launch at night. It's nighttime in Israel now. Militarily, I don't know what's advantageous, but all weekend we've been hearing it's imminent, it's coming, it's coming. I did find this. This is a little disturbing. There's a news site that is kind of the official, semi-official voice of Iran, the Iran government. It's called Memory. And this is what they have published. This is Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian.
What's his name?
Hossein Amir Abdollahian.
Say that three times fast, Steve.
Three times fast, Steve.
That was good.
That
was good. That's a long name. Anyway, what does he say?
We announced to the Zionist regime. Now, this is Iran speaking, so this is right. By no means unbiased. We announced to the Zionist regime via its supporters that if it does not stop its crimes in Gaza, tomorrow will be too late. Iran cannot just watch the situation as a bystander. If the scope of the war expands, heavy losses will be inflicted on the United States.
This is from an official
spokesperson? It's from the foreign minister of Iran.
Yeah, I mentioned in the first hour, I was looking at a Jerusalem Post article. I don't know if it's the same Iranian official, but said that the U.S. is already involved and must be held to account. So
why do we give these people any money at all, period?
Well, that's a question for Karine Jean-Pierre. Oh, that's right. She won't answer. And the Biden administration.
Obama gave them money, too.
Yes.
Are they trying to buy them off? Where I'm just shooting it.
I'll tell you what I think.
Go ahead.
This is going to come off a little conspiratorial. I can't prove this, but I think they're within the Democratic Party, even though most secular Jews, I think if you look at Gallup polling, for example, are Democrats. I think inside the Democratic Party, there is a strong sentiment of hostility towards the nation of Israel and favoritism. In other words, they take sides with the Arabs as opposed to the Jews, and with the Muslim nations as opposed to the nation of Israel. And they are sympathetic to their argument that Israel should
not
exist.
So Iran will do the bidding of a certain segment of the Democrat Party. Therefore, they want to give them. Now, when I say, quote, give them money, I don't understand all the financial dealings. I just know that, they talk about unfreezing $6 billion
right.
That Biden did for Iran. I know that, Obama sent all that money over in cash on unmarked airplanes.
On pallets, right?
On pallets, and you're going, why are you doing this?
Well, the only alternative to what I just said, because the Democratic Party, I think, is being overtaken by Marxist ideology.
Right.
And in that Marxist ideology, Israel is an oppressor, the Palestinians are the oppressed, so on and so forth. If that is not what we see happening, then the only explanation for unfreezing money and unmarked planes in the dead of night with pallets of cash is that they're trying to buy off Iran. And that is not going to work. And I just don't think that Democratic strategists are that stupid. I just think they have been overtaken by that Marxist ideology of oppressor and oppressed.
This brings us to, Steve, the comments by Governor
Ron DeSantis.
Ron DeSantis. I saw the, I thought they were very pertinent.
Can you give me 30 seconds to play a clip? We talked about Iran saying that the United States is going to pay, and you might be out there saying, well, they're far away. What are they going to do? Well, I don't want to be an alarmist, but listen to cut 8.
You know, in 2019, we didn't catch one person on the FBI terrorist watch list. Today, we've caught more than 151. 2 years ago is when I broke what was happening. I sent a letter to the director of the FBI. He still has not responded. But the real concern here is having this open border that Iran and 160 other countries know. We don't know what's in our country. We don't know if there's a cell currently in our country waiting to come forward based upon what's happening to Israel and other places around the world. We are at a great threat ourselves, and it's based upon Biden's policies.
That's former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy to Fox over the weekend.
Yeah, listen, at the sake of sounding overtly partisan, I'll say it anyway. Unless the American voters want to kick out the Democrats from the presidency and the House and the Senate, the Democrats are for open borders, unless it affects them.
Right.
Listen,
if it affects them in New York and Chicago, then they're wanting to know why do we have open borders?
Or if the immigrants start voting Republican.
Other than that, the Democrat Party is for people coming here. They don't care how many people come here. They don't care where they go. It's insanity. Millions and millions have come here, and millions continue to travel here. And you're saying that some of them are being caught by some.
A couple Iranians have been caught crossing the southern border.
Yeah, so how many did we not catch?
That's the question.
So unless the American people say, you know what, this matters to us, we're not voting for Democrats until they align with us on controlling our border. If that doesn't happen, I don't know that there's anything you can do about it, because Biden smiles and says, let them all in, and there doesn't seem to be anything anybody can do about it. Governor Greg Abbott has done the best job. He's tried to do something along the border, the Texas border with Mexico. He's done some things. The best thing he ever did was get the buses and let people go to New York, Chicago, wherever else they want to go. Now the Democrats are screaming bloody murder on why are all these illegals coming here when they've been pouring into the millions in Arizona, Texas for a decade or decades. So, again, I'm just going to lay it out there. If Americans continue to vote for Democrats, then we have no borders. Ed, is there any evidence that would contradict what I just said?
No. I think that's exactly what the Democratic Party, by and large, as being led by their standard bearer, Joe Biden, and everyone in Congress who's a Democrat, they have done nothing to challenge the president.
No, they don't care.
We've all said, many other people have said, it's probably going to take a terrorist attack or attacks that can be proven to have resulted from that open border before Americans vote about this issue, on the basis of this issue. And it's for Iran to make this threat, I am guessing they know what we suspect, that there are, as Kevin McCarthy was suggesting, that there are probably Iranian-backed terrorist cells in this country, and they are going to make America pay a price, quote-unquote, for backing Israel.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know how else to say other than just plainly on that issue. If you believe in just people being able to pour into our country, we don't even know who they are, where they're coming from, where they're going, then by all means, keep voting for the Democrats.
And to that point, you were talking about Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who's running for president. He was talking about the tendency of Americans to reach out to people that are troubled and invite them and give them shelter. And we're going to be seeing a lot of Palestinian refugees from Gaza Strip. But he says we are a country that is united by ideals, and even the average Palestinian is rabidly anti-Semitic. They've been raised that way, and therefore we shouldn't let them in the country. Cut nine.
We ought to start facing reality as a country. We've got to be honest and look at this stuff. It's just like Iran. Biden had tried to have a rapprochement with Iran, right? They gave them oil revenue, all this stuff that's led to the funding of Hamas and everything. Iran has an ideology. The ideology is to destroy Israel, to kill Jews. America, they think, is the great Satan. That's their ideology. You're not going to be able to have a rapprochement of that. So just take that for what it is. And I will challenge anyone to say that in some of these countries that virulent anti-Semitism is not the norm. If you're not willing to acknowledge that, then you've got your head in the sand. That is how folks think in many of those countries in this part of the world. That's just the fact. I think it's sad. I think it's unfortunate. I think a lot of it's from the education. But to act like a lot of those people are really there and that they acknowledge Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state and all that, that's just not true. That's just not what we're dealing with here. And I think anybody that's ever surveyed public opinion in any of those places would say that what I've said is just an accurate description of that. And then the question is, first of all, it's not our role to be absorbing people from there. But you got to look going forward apart from this. If people are bringing in things, anti-Semitism, anti-Americanism, to me, that would be a reason why you don't get admission to this country to begin with. The whole thing that's supposed to unite us is we have common values about God-given rights, limited government, all those things. Some of this stuff is totally toxic. Obviously, that part of the world has had a lot of toxicity over many, many decades, and we just have to acknowledge that. So don't go running interference for some of the views there. They're bad views. It's sad. Israel's in a very hostile neighborhood.
Well, I think the premise for those comments or the question that led to the comments by Governor DeSantis, that was Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, was he was asked, do we let refugees in from Gaza?
Right.
Yes. The U.S. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Steve. By the way, Steve, do we know anything about the Republicans' Speaker of the House votes?
Yeah, we do. There's a group of about six what they're calling moderate Republicans that have said that they are considering working with Democrats to elect a Democrat Speaker. They are Mike Rogers of Alabama, Ann Wagner of Missouri, Don Bacon of Nebraska, Vern Buchanan of Florida, Carlos Jimenez of Florida, and Mario Diaz-Balart of Florida. And they said they're done with the games or whatever, and they are don't want Jordan in or somebody that is associated with Donald Trump. So they are thinking of working with Democrats.
They said that out loud, or you're guessing?
No, this is what's being reported.
Okay. All right, when last we left this soap opera,
yeah,
that is the Republican conference. Listen, they've got a small minority in the House of Representatives, and in order to get the to elect a Speaker of the House, you have to have a majority of the votes. And so, Kevin McCarthy got kicked out by eight Republicans and the rest were Democrats?
Yeah, I don't know if it was eight. Was it eight?
I think it was eight voted, yeah. But he really got kicked out by one. Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz led the charge,
yes. Yeah.
So they kicked Kevin McCarthy out of the Speaker's chair. And it's kind of like the dog that caught the car. It's kind of like, okay, now what? Well, Steve Scalise from Louisiana, who was part of the leadership on the Republicans, He didn't get enough votes, and then he pulled his name out. Of course, he's also dealing with health issues. Scalise is. He has cancer, blood cancer, I think. So he's getting chemo for that, as I understand it. So you got that situation going on. And then Jim Jordan is next, you know, in line, so to speak. And he's trying to get enough votes among the Republicans to be, you know, what they want to do is they want to make sure they got enough votes so that among the Republicans themselves, so then they go to the House of Representatives, the full House, that they can have enough votes to overcome the Democrats, who, again, is only what is that, 8 or 10, 15 or 20 separate? I don't know. It's not even 20. I think it's like
margin for.
Isn't it like 10 or 12?
Yeah, it's very, very
the margin of difference between Republicans and Democrats?
I think it's what, 222 to 208. Is that right?
So 12?
Something like that.
Something like that.
A 10-seat majority.
10-seat.
Right now.
A 10-seat majority. So that's such a narrow majority. You can't afford to lose. So we'll see. It's for them to figure out. It's for the Republicans to figure out.
I would think that if these Republicans voted, work with Democrats to elect a Democrat as Speaker of the House, that would be political suicide.
That was the term that was actually used by.
I'll believe that. I'll believe that when I see it.
Right.
I don't know that I buy that or not.
Because our country is so polarized. People in their districts are not going to say, well, I understood what you were going for, and, you know, I can appreciate the subtlety of your decision. No, they're going to say, you helped elect a Democrat
right.
as Speaker of the House?
Right.
The same website that was naming the six is now saying, and this is like as of just a minute ago, Representative Ann Wagner of Missouri has changed her mind, and she will vote for Jordan, leaving five potential votes with the Democrats.
Well, you may be right, Tim. This may have been bluster to try to spook the Republican. Are these moderates? They just don't want a conservative? That's what they didn't want Jim Jordan.
Well, conservatives don't want a moderate either.
Well, that's true.
And they have to work that out.
Yeah,
they have to work that out within their own in their own conference. Hey, former President Donald Trump got in some hot water for his comments recently about Israel.
Yes.
I saw him make these comments. He was speaking down in Florida at an event last week, and it became a story over the weekend. You know, what was going on here, Steve?
So he was at one of his rallies, and
it wasn't a rally.
It was not. It was a speech.
It was just an event with a lot of people who support President Trump. You know, so I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No,
it wasn't a rally where he goes out across the country and thousands of people show up like we're traditionally known. This was at a forum in West Palm Beach near his home.
Right. Okay.
And he was speaking at people who support him, but they're insiders. They're right. Matt Gaetz. They're Roger Stone. They're people like that.
Go ahead. He actually took some shots at Israel. It's beyond me to figure out this man's thinking of why he would do this, but I want you to hear what he had to say. He's going to criticize an Israeli commander. I don't know if he did it by name. I'll name him afterwards if he doesn't. But let's listen to cut seven.
And they said, gee, I hope Hezbollah doesn't attack from the north because that's the most vulnerable spot. I said, wait a minute. You know, Hezbollah is very smart. They're all very smart. The press doesn't like when they say it. And they have a national defense minister or somebody saying, I hope Hezbollah doesn't attack us from the north. So the following morning, they attacked. They might not have been doing it, but if you listen to this jerk, you would attack from the north because he said that's our weak spot. Whoever heard of officials saying on television that they hope the enemy doesn't attack in a certain area? Now, unless it's a con job, but you know what a con job is? You're waiting there ready. You want them if you want them, but they weren't ready. They weren't ready. You know, say what you want. Israel was not ready. This was a big surprise. This was a terrible thing that happened. They weren't ready. You know, I did have a bad experience with Israel, though, when we took out Soleimani. It was us and Israel working as a group, and we knew where he was. We knew how he was coming in. We knew the plane. We knew everything. And the night before it happened, I got a call that Israel will not be participating in this attack. But I'll never forget that Bibi Netanyahu let us down. That was a very terrible thing. I will say that.
Okay, so a couple things there that the former president is getting criticized for is he's talking about these events as Israel is suffering the worst death toll they've had since the Holocaust. In other words,
right.
it's bad timing, is what, and even Republicans are saying so. And then he says that Hezbollah is all very smart, and people are saying, why are you complimenting the terrorist organizations at this moment in time? And how do you know they're very smart?
Right.
What evidence do you have that they're very smart? Anyway, I think that Trump did try to walk. I wouldn't say he tried to walk those back, but he issued a statement like the day after saying, hey, I'm the best friend Israel's ever had as far as being president. And he was a real friend of Israel's.
Right.
There's no question about it. But saying these kinds of things like Hezbollah is very smart and this Israeli general is a jerk.
There's the Israeli defense minister, and his name is Yoav Gallant.
Is that who he called a jerk?
Yes.
You know, saying that days after they've been attacked was not a wise move on the part of the former president.
Yeah, and words are important when you're running for president. I mean, you have to. There has to be some care taken. I think I don't want to read into. I mean, he's a former president. I'm not. I think what he was trying to say, this would have probably been a better choice of words, is Hamas is crafty.
You're talking about Hezbollah.
Hezbollah. I'm sorry. They're shrewd. And if you make mention of the fact that our northern border with Lebanon is not as well protected as we are in the south, you don't want to give that away to someone who's crafty and shrewd like Hezbollah. That's probably what the former president was trying to say. That might have been a little bit more palatable, but when you call Hezbollah smart, like you're saying, you're not saying – you're not making a point about their IQ and their leadership. What you're trying to get at is you don't give away information to Hezbollah, and the timing was not good. And I don't think you – I don't know why you'd want to criticize Benjamin Netanyahu when he's trying
right
to
– Right now?
Yeah, right now. So it's – as we've said many times, President Trump is really – really good when he ad-libs in terms of getting the crowd wound up. But that does lead to saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. And I think he's getting criticized for that because it's the wrong thing to say at the wrong time.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you for yours. We appreciate it. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
All right, thank you for listening to the program and to American Family Radio, everybody. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great day.